You are now listening to Mando Meets Witchrio.
Why some say the moon? Why choose this as our goal? And they may well ask, why climb the highest mountain? Why 35 years ago fly the Atlantic? Why does Rice play Texas? We choose to go to the moon. We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other thing. Not because they are easy, but because they are hard.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to episode 2 of Mando Meets Witchrio. This week, we're not going to do a long introduction. We're going to get right into it. We had an AMA Sunday where we had a bunch of new news. We found out Thomas is our CBO. That's right, Chief Blockchain Officer, which means there's a blockchain coming. Also, our team is currently in the Gambia. Doing what? We're not sure. So let's get right into the interview. Let's ask Sean a couple of questions, see how far we get. Sit back, relax, and welcome to Moon. Hey, Sean, you there?
Yeah. Have we done this before?
Yeah, we've done this a few times. Hey, man, I wanted to reach out to you. Thank you for being so cool about this. I know we recorded this already and I kind of botched it, but I think it's important that we get all these updates from the AMA out to all the listeners, all the people in the community. So thank you for being so awesome about this. Real quick, I just want to do a recap of all the new updates and then we'll dive into some questions. That sound good?
I have a question.
What's that?
Is the microphone on?
Yes.
Are we recording this time?
Yes, we're actually recording this time, and this one's going to get published. All right? So listen, we have 2.5 million holders right now, not including exchanges. We have 7 exchanges that have tokenomics implemented. Mooncraft is in beta, and it continues to move on schedule. We got the SafeMoon wallet that's going to be in beta as soon as Monday, I think. The Simplex button is all done to go on the website. We're just working through some red tape. We got the hard wallet coming at the end of the summer. And our core team is currently in the Gambia. So with all those things going on, how are you feeling right now about SafeMoon?
I'm still bullish. I'm excited for all the happenings, and I'm excited for some of the information that's going to be released on Sunday. I think it's going to be a lot more than we expect.
Yeah, one thing I didn't mention was we got confirmation that the SafeMoon blockchain is happening. It's a thing that's happening. Thomas is named our CBO, our Chief Blockchain Officer, and how exciting is that?
That's awesome. You know, now he can officially talk about blockchain as opposed to just putting out cryptic icons on Discord and on Twitter. He's legally allowed to talk about the SafeMoon blockchain now, which is awesome.
Yeah, that's great. So I'm looking at what Papa's been hitting online and what some of the questions that people are having that they've sent. What do you think a blockchain for SafeMoon really means overall? How's that beneficial? What's that change for the token? What's that mean about our Binance Smart Chain token now? Are we switching it over? Is there a bridge? What's it mean?
So that's a big question. What a blockchain will do for the token is effectively make it a currency, which is what we want in any token, its adoption and utility. And so for it to be considered a cryptocurrency, it has to have its own blockchain. So that's the first thing that I believe will happen. It'll become a currency right off the bat. It won't just be a store value on someone else's chain, which in this case is Binance Smart Chain. It'll be its own cryptocurrency. So that's the big thing. The second thing we have to account for is that it's the increased security. When you create your own blockchain, you're fixing things in the contract and in the code that you found that could possibly be flaws. The biggest example of this is with Ethereum years ago when they hacked it for a few hundred million tokens or coins, I should say. And that was when the fork happened, which is another thing that I believe may happen with the tokens as a fork. The fork isn't necessarily just to affect the token supply. It's also to enhance the coding on the contract. So this way it prevents hackers from getting in there, pulling data out, pulling out tokens that could be detrimental to the overall value and the overall productivity. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that it will reduce supply. It may mean that it's going to add into a different type of coin. That's something that remains to be seen. Something that could remove supply is proof of stake, where they stake enough supply to reduce it down to 100 million. Now, in this case, that would mean over 99% would have to be staked. So I don't know how they're going to do that, but that's just another theoretical possibility based on conceptual definition of proof of stake and hard forking.
So that's another question that continued to come up whenever we asked the community to send in their questions was, hey, if we have our own blockchain, Papa's consistently hinted at having 100 million in circulation in 2 years as a possibility. And he said it's not a burn. So when they use the word like circulation, that is fairly specific. So if we did stake our coins, that could be a way of getting less in circulation. We have our own blockchain. Most blockchains, if it's proof of stake, you need nodes. And then in order to be a node, you have to stake a certain amount. So do you think with a coin like ours that has built-in staking, would they have to add in more rewards and make like some super hyper staking coin that I don't know how we'd get there. Any thoughts?
So I think you have to take a look outside the box here and kind of read between the lines a little bit. And this is all theoretical. I don't have anything definitive, but if we take a look at Binance Coin and then Binance Smart Chain, they effectively created a separate coin on their chain, or I should say a token, because it's part of the Binance Smart Chain. Mm-hmm. And they were able to change their supply to have enough to utilize the swaps on PancakeSwap, Uniswap, and SushiSwap, which were all effective coins on that, I believe. And so with the 100 million supply, you know, they may stake on other exchanges that don't offer tokenomics. So if crypto.com, let's say, comes around and they aren't able to offer tokenomics, they may just stake it. And that would reduce supply and then just add to their liquidity pool to give as a reward. And so that may be another option. He said there wouldn't be a burn. He never said anything about 100 million in supply of another token. And so that's something else to consider, because if there's another coin that spins off that's based off of what you hold, then there could be 100 million of that coin.
Gotcha. Similar to how some coins might have, hey, if you stake this much of this coin, you get this much of that coin kind of deal?
Kind of. And it's very similar to what happened with years ago with Bitcoin. If you held enough Bitcoin, you got X amount of Bitcoin cash because of the fork. Mm-hmm. And that's just the first example that comes to my mind, but I'm sure there are others out there.
Got it. So again, this is speculation. We don't have very many details, but we're trying to bring some color to all the hints and clues that we have out there. So speaking of hints and clues, our team is in the Gambia right now. We're not completely sure why, but there was a picture posted, and in the background, it seemed somewhat intentional. There's the logo Qcell. What's going on there?
So again, this is just over analysis on the picture itself. But if you look, it's not essentially a very centered picture on both of those guys. They're kind of off-centered a little bit to make sure that Qcell is in there. And after doing a little bit of research, Qcell is one of the bigger mobile carriers in Gambia. And it's a prepaid cellular service that I think is partnered up with the government, and it kind of has to be based off all the research that I do for cellular service throughout the country. And so I believe that Qcell and Gambia government are working together to effectively take SafeMoon as another form of currency, kind of how El Salvador just recently passed this week. And so if they're able to do that, that means SafeMoon will be accepted as a payment directly into their prepaid service. So it'll allow them to pay for mobile minutes with SafeMoon directly, and then allow them to store it on the wallet, which when it comes out will be able to be refilled through their phones and through their mobile service. And so I think it's a partnership between Gambia, Qcell, and then the effectiveness of the SafeMoon wallet.
Got it. Okay, that makes sense. Now, one other thing that we got in as a question is, a lot of people are hearing a lot around Mooncraft, which is the SafeMoon Minecraft server. And some folks are really excited about it, and others don't really understand how it's going to help the token or where the benefits lie. Could you give us some idea around that?
Sure. So with something like this, this is a fairly new area that blockchain is getting into. This is going to be based off of NFTs, where you can buy cards and hold them as collectibles. You'll be able to pay for items through the app, which is based off of the SafeMoon chain. And when you go back and forth using SafeMoon, it'll help use or help burn the tokens. So this way, it'll be another way of adding a utility through entertainment and gaming. And so that's where I see this going right now. As far as building off of that, you know, who knows where it goes? NFTs are so new. They're roughly a year old in their demand. And so, you know, we could have a whole other, you know, external game built off of this, kind of like a digital Pokemon or a digital Yu-Gi-Oh or Magic the Gathering.
Nice. It seems like it might be like our first run, our first stab at the gaming side to kind of learn some lessons and then maybe even build off of that. So one of the things that, I found was interesting about this was the person who developed this server was a friend of Thomas. And Thomas has known this guy for a while, and apparently he was working on this server for 3 years. So, I mean, we're benefiting again just from the people Thomas knows and the relationships he has. So it's just to show how far the team has gone and the weight that they carry. We pretty much got a 3-year head start on having a SafeMoon Minecraft server.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So listen, that's about all we're going to go over right now. I know next week we wanted to save some details on the Nerve network, what some of these bridges might mean, the Horde deal that we were talking about yesterday. So we have a lot more coming next week, but I think we'll stop here. And again, I really appreciate you taking the time to help us all get a better idea on what's going on here, and we'll speculate together.
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right, Sean. I'll talk to you later.
Take care.
Well, that's our episode for this week. There was a bit of an inside joke going on there where Sean and I had already recorded this, but I forgot to hit record. So we had to do this a few more times before we got it right. But hey, we're getting better. We're also going to go all out and getting Sean some recording software, a microphone, something. But this will continue to get better. I hope you're enjoying this. And as always, thank you very much for listening. Mando, out.